Why don't you go ahead and grab those Bibles that are there behind you in the pouches, the parachutes, whatever you call them. In just a moment, I'll show a slide that gives us the page number. We're looking at 2 Corinthians, just like last week, 2 Corinthians, but this week, chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Let me pray for us to get started. God, as we come together under your words, we pray that you would open our ears. We thank you that you give us the solid promises of this gift, this book that tells us about you, this story that's full of your amazing gifts to us. And so as we receive it, Lord, would it penetrate both our thoughts and our hearts, but also our lives, and transform into the kind of change that you want from us by your grace. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know what it's been like for you. I've really, really enjoyed this series, the Generous God series. I know there's been I've had a few really good discussions about it with you all. And I know Andy just kind of prompted us a little bit earlier that, a little bit later we'll have a chance to share together what we've learned, what we've picked up from this series. This was the big surprise for me, and it maybe shouldn't have been a surprise because I helped put the preaching kind of team together and we were looking at it in advance, but I thought that this series would really be about our money and our giving, and it has been, it really has been. You might remember that when I kicked off the series 7 weeks back, I referenced the church's budget and sort of talked about our giving in the context of that. But then every week as they went by in different ways, I was impressed again with God's generosity. God's generosity, which in a way sort of is like, it's a no-brainer. It makes me really glad that we had our graphic that says generous God. The emphasis there was on us. Did you catch that? That sort of visual? It wasn't because we ran out of space. But in reality, as we've looked at all the text, it's really been about God's generosity. And I've been so struck by that. So just before we dive into today's text, I thought it'd be worth looking at just kind of a recap of where we've been. And don't worry if you've missed something, but it's just helpful to look back at the journey that we've been on for the past 7 weeks. In Psalm 112 in week one, we looked at we give freely. And even as we talked about us giving freely, we noticed in Psalm 111 really that it's all about God's generosity, that God's giving comes first. And then in Exodus 16, we looked at we give in community, but really it ended up being a story about God's faithful provision for his people in the wilderness as they wandered in the desert. He gave his people food. Then we looked at we give in secret, and we were reminded in Matthew chapter 6 that there's a better reward from our Father than any praise that we could get from someone else. In Luke chapter 12, we learned that we give to get treasure in heaven. And we were reminded that the Father knows what we need and that he's been pleased to give us the kingdom. And then again in Luke 12, we looked at how we give to be rich towards God. We learned that there's more to life than an abundance of possessions and that that's how we can be rich towards God. And last week, Miles was here and he taught us that we give because Christ first gave to us. It was from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And he challenged us with this. When we give, we are imitating our Heavenly Father because it's God who is the giver. We saw it each and every week, didn't we? And so this week, we look at we give cheerfully. And that's our question for today. Again, from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 11. What does it mean to give cheerfully? And that leads me to the tea bags of Christmas tea. Now, how many people have had a cup of Christmas tea here at the Good Shepherd Mission? Raise your hand. I want to see it. Please reach into the pouches right in front of you and grab a bag of Christmas tea. There's one for every single one of you. And if you're sitting in the back row and you didn't get one, if you're missing one, Danny's got some extras there in the back, so raise your hand if you need one. That I think this arrived, was it 2019, Jen, 2021? I don't know when, but this is like the manna. We have no idea where it came from. We don't know what it is. I think if you opened the bag, you're free to open it up now if you want. Give it a little smell. Is it cranberry? Is it sour strawberry? What is it? It arrived, and we still cannot get rid of it. We've used it everywhere we can. We even had a guessing game. Do you remember Christmas of 2021? We had a guessing game. Guess how many tea bags are in the box? The young people are still counting. This stuff is unbelievable. What do you think it smells like, Claire? You're sticking your nose in there. Is it? It's very fruity. It is. I will tell you, it's not caffeinated. If there was ever a Kool-Aid, you know, like drinking the Kool-Aid for Good Shepherd Mission, this is it, their Christmas tea. So now you all have your own bag, and we probably still will have more than we ever need for the coming years. So here's the thing with that tea bag. You have to use it. You have to open it, first of all, to use it. And to enjoy it, you have to add water to it. And I don't know, how many of you guys are like, leave the tea bag in people? Depends on the tea, right? This is definitely a bag where you might want to leave it in for a bit. Although it starts to go sour, and then it's more like kombucha, if you ever had that. You can steep it for a short time, you can steep it for a long time. But it's best, this stuff is best when it's given away. That sounds worse than I made it sound. I've actually come to really like it. How many meetings have we had, Jen, where we have this fruit tea? How many Bible studies have we had where we share this Christmas tea? And if you think, well, why is this Christmas tea? Maybe it's the elf, it's the green package. If you open it up on the inside, the bag itself says Merry Christmas. I hope that the 16, I have no idea what 16 means. I think it might be from the year that it was made. We've shared it with groups that have come through week after week, conversations over these cups of Christmas tea, laughs, tears, joys, all with these silly mystery green tea bags. But now I look at it and I go, God has given me something here. God has given us something here. What do I do with it? What do we do with it? And I don't mean the tea. Well, yeah, maybe the tea. But the Good Shepherd Mission, this place, these people, what do we do with it? Will we waste it? Will we hoard it for ourselves? Will we grow tired of it and take it for granted? Or will we give it away? So let's turn to our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is on page 1099. Page 1099, I think I might, as the only American in the room, I'd be the only person to appreciate that 1099 is also a very important tax form that you file every year, appropriate for giving. Last week we heard, this is the context of what's happening in this book, just in case we need a reminder. We heard from Miles that this is a letter that Paul writes to Christians in Corinth, and he's reminding them that he's sending some friends to collect a gift from the church in Corinth, and that they had pledged this gift to help some less advantaged Christians in Jerusalem. All right, so just to pick up maybe in verse 5, actually, Paul's writing this letter, and he says, I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. So get your gift together, get your act together, get it together, he says. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as grudgingly given. And then he goes into the next line, and he says, remember this. And let's just stop there and just take a moment that has been a great practice for this series, to remember, to pause and to remember. Take a moment right now, just in the quiet, just for a second, to remember this series. What has stood out to you? What stood out to you during the last number of weeks? What's God been saying to you through his word about his generosity? And about our giving. We need to remember all that God has given us. Because of this series, I just started a little daily practice. It's very similar to what Andy just had us do. Waking up each day and kind of opening the page of my journal and before I pray, just thinking about the day before and thinking, what's one thing that I can say thank you for from the previous day? What's one way I've seen God's generous heart at work? And we've done that a lot together on the Sundays each week, haven't we? We've paused to remember God's generosity, each week giving thanks. So as Paul writes his letter, he's saying here, don't let your giving be like this, let it be like this. That's kind of the way he does this here. He says, don't let it be like this, let it be like this. We've already seen a preview of it there in verse 5. Let it be a generous gift, he says, not one that's grudgingly given. Paul's saying, don't just get your wallets ready, get your gift ready. I want you to get your hearts ready. I want you to check your attitudes about your giving. So he says, not like this. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, this is the language of planting and harvesting. And so it might feel a little bit out of touch, out of date. But it's basically saying when we give in a stingy or sparing way, we receive in a stingy or sparing way. And that's a matter of the heart. It's not about the size of the gift. I can give the same size gift and give it in a grudging way, or I can give it in a generous way. So Paul says, don't give like that. Look at verse 7. He says, don't give it reluctantly or under compulsion. Don't hold back in hesitation. And don't give because you have to or because you've been made to because of guilt or by manipulation. Don't give for that reason. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give it under compulsion. That's not how God wants your giving. So Paul writes, don't give like this. Give like this. And then he goes on. In verse 6, he describes, sow generously, give from a generous heart, and you'll see a generous return. You'll reap generously. So just to be clear, we can read verse 6 the wrong way, can't we? And we can think it's a formula. So you're telling me if I give a lot, then I get a lot. And if I don't, well, karma is going to get me. No, this isn't a formula. It's not karma, it's wisdom. It's wisdom that says when you begin to live from a heart of generosity, you begin to see God's abundance all around you. And when you close yourself off to giving with a generous heart, pretty soon all you can see is scarcity. You see what you don't have instead of all that you've been given. It's wisdom. There's another book of wisdom in the Bible. It's Proverbs, and I love this one. Very similar thought here from Proverbs chapter 11. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I love that. Lord, make me a person who refreshes others. And the words of Jesus, same wisdom, listen to him in Luke chapter 6. Give, he says, and it will be given to you. A good measure of Christmas tea, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. With the measure you see, it will be measured to you. So give generously, Paul writes, but also be thoughtful about it. Do you see in verse 7? Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Be thoughtful. Think about it ahead of time rather than being impulsive. Now, have you ever been around an impulsive giver? I actually kind of like them. I like hanging out with impulsive givers, but it gets kind of awkward really quick, doesn't it? You know, hey, I like that art on your wall. Oh, here, have it. You can take it with you. Oh, really? Okay. I like your shoes. Oh, here, let me give them to you. So be generous. Be thoughtful. Why? Verse 7, God loves a generous giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Don't miss that God loves it. He loves it when we're joyful. He sees that we're cheerful about our giving. And here's a definition of cheerful. Right from the dictionary, it says noticeably happy and optimistic. So there's no such thing as being a cheerful giver who looks miserable. Noticeably happy and optimistic. A cheerful giver, there's another definition in the dictionary that says causing happiness by its nature or appearance. When you walk into a room, you say, oh, this is a cheerful room. It causes happiness. The biblical language here in the original text, the original language here is like hilarious or enthusiastic. God loves an enthusiastic giver. So the idea is a liberal one. Not in a political sense. Someone who gives freely, extravagantly, and enthusiastically. Have you ever been around that kind of person? It is so contagious. not only do they share the wealth, but they share joy and they spread it around. And Paul says, God loves that kind of giver. So let me encourage you, let me encourage us to be thoughtful about how we give and to ask, what can I do? What's one thing I can do to become an enthusiastic, hilarious, generous giver? So Paul writes, don't do it like this, do it like this. But then he gets to the why. Why should Christians be hilarious and enthusiastic, generous givers? And he says, because of this. Look at verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This is the good news, that it's not on us, that God is able. Did you see that? And this generous God is not sparing. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Is there any room here in what Paul writes for holding back? For reluctance? For sparingly, grudgingly doing or giving because, well, we're obligated to? No. See, here's the mystery of this, that we can only give away what we receive. Like a box full of Christmas tea, by sharing it, it just keeps multiplying. That's what Paul's writing about. That's the secret of Christian giving, that we give away what we've received. Let me give you another example that Paul writes about in the very same letter. If you go back a couple of pages, or I've got it up here on the screen for you, same idea, the very start of 2 Corinthians, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can feel better. Oh, wait, no, it says so that we can be comfortable, have a nice life. No, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. How amazing is that? See, God's supply of all things at all times so that we can abound in every good work is not just about money. How many times have you, I mean, looking around here, walked into the food bank to help out or to lead a Bible study or to teach in Splash or Toffs or do tea and coffee, and you're walking in and you just whisper that prayer, God, I don't have what it takes this morning. I need you to give me what I need to give away. I need you to come through. And that's what I feel like coming in on some Sundays to preach. God, I don't have this, but I need you to give me what I need to give away. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Good Shepherd Mission, do we believe this? Not just up here in our heads, do we live like this? He goes on in verse 9, and he actually calls back to Psalm 112. He's got that whole psalm in his mind, if you can stretch back to 7 weeks ago in this series. As it's written, they have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Remember that because of God's generosity, we can give things away. They're scattered freely. And look at the language in verse 10. Just pick up on it. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So, did you pick up on it? Provides seed, provides bread, supplies and increases your store, enlarges your harvest. Who is doing all of the work here? And if sowing and harvest aren't quite your language, this is the language of investment and dividends and profit and interests. What we give away freely, lavishly, cheerfully, always has a yield. It always makes a profit. It makes a return on the investment in the kingdom of God. And here's the result. Because of this, Paul writes, for this, here's the result. Look at verse 11. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I mean, listen to that. We are given the supplies. Our job is to give it away, and God gets the thank you note. One commentator writes this: when we opt out of giving, we opt out of the privilege of meeting human needs, and we also deny ourselves the honor of promoting God's glory. I love that. God gets the thank you note. So friends, let me ask us a few questions. Just as we look at this here this morning, do we see the occasions for us to play our part? Do we see them and pay attention to them? Because it says here, you'll be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. Do we see God's provision for those occasions? And does God get the thanks and the praise as a result? So let me read this final bit of 2 Corinthians 9 as Paul continues. And I want you to listen for that pattern, okay? That pattern that we've just set out. Our generous God gives, and we give it away, and people's needs are met, and God gets the thanks. That's the pattern. Picking up in verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, people will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. We've already talked about it. We've sung about it. This indescribable gift is Jesus himself. In 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. There's that pattern again. We love because he first loved us. And earlier in that same letter, I think we read this morning too, right? Andy and I did not compare notes, by the way. I love it when God supplies just like that. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. That means he made the payment with his life for our sins. The indescribable gift, indeed. Last week we heard it in 2 Corinthians 8, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. That's Paul's message to the church in Corinth and to us today. Not that we comfort others on our own, but that we give away the comfort that we've received in Christ. Not that we give away bread or money or Christmas tea bags of our own, but that God gave it to us to give away. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, who gave his life on the cross to give us life. We've got membership documents that spell out four elements of our membership, and one of them is giving. And I came back to it. I thought I'd share it with us just to remind us of what we mean by giving when we talk about membership as part of Good Shepherd Mission. It says we joyfully, there's that word, cheerfully, enthusiastically give, share our time, talent, and treasure to be used by God for his kingdom purposes. We give sacrificially, as a reflection of the riches we have received in Christ, knowing that everything comes from him and that it was never truly ours to begin with. We believe that everyone is here to receive and to give according to what they are able. And I'm looking out at all of us thinking, yeah, if you came to receive, have you received from Good Shepherd Mission and God's work here? Yeah. Are you giving your time and your talent and your treasure? What you're able. That's the challenge here. So right now, we are sitting in this hall in a building that was funded by a person who had been given a few tea bags of his own. His name's right over there on that plaque, dating all the way back to 1871, Samuel Morley. When the building was dedicated, it was dedicated to the glory of God and the welfare of the community. And along comes a guy named Ronnie Wilcox in the 1980s, I want to say. Starts up a little thing called the Good Shepherd Mission. We're sitting on chairs paid for by the donations of many who came before us. And these chairs are used all through the week for meetings from people from all walks of life. We're holding Bibles given to us in the English language by a long history of scribes and translators and missionaries and martyrs. We've sung songs by people who used their gifts, the gifts they were given, to make music. We've seen the words up on the wall behind us because somebody used their tea bags to brew up a tech team and a computer and a sound desk. And we're using electricity and feeling the warmth of the heat. I'm glad it's on today. Because God has provided, through people like you, each one of us, just enough each year to keep the lights on. And so I ask you, Good Shepherd Mission, I ask you, what will you do? What will you brew up with the tea bag that you have received? Will you throw it out? How long will you let it steep? Will you let it grow cold? Will you enjoy it all by yourself? Or will you give it away? Will you multiply the joy and make sure that God gets the thanks? I hope so. Let's pray. God, we are at times stunned by the miracle of your indescribable gift. I thank you for grace that's poured out for us lavishly, generously, with enthusiasm for us on our behalf. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for this good gospel that we don't get to keep for ourselves, but to share with others. And I pray that you would turn our hearts to make us cheerful, joyful people who are overflowing in abundance and a willingness to give back what we've received. Lord, would you make us that kind of people by your grace? In Jesus' name, amen.